BBC News with David Austin. The United States' most senior military officer, General Martin Dempsey, has been meeting U.S. commanders in Iraq, preparing to expand American assistance to Iraqi and Kurdish forces fighting the Islamic State. After visiting Baghdad, where he also met the Iraqi Prime Minister, Haider al-Abadi, he went on to the semi-autonomous Kurdish region. Hugh Sykes reports.
More than 1,000 non-combat American troops are already here to train and assist the Iraqi military. Washington has promised another 1,500. 2 days ago, General Dempsey told the House Armed Services Committee in Washington that the door remained open to sending a modest number of American combat troops back to Iraq to join the fight against Islamic State. We're certainly considering it, he told the committee. Combat troops could only return at the invitation of the Iraqi government. And any American troops actually engaging in combat with ISIS would be on the same side as Iranian-backed militia who are also fighting them.
The United Arab Emirates, which belongs to a US-led coalition fighting jihadists, has issued a list of Islamist groups which it classifies as terrorist organizations. It blacklists the Shia Muslim Houthi movement of Yemen, the Al-Qaeda-linked Nusra Front, Islamic State, and the Muslim Brotherhood. Western leaders gathered in Australia for the G20 summit have warned Russia to abide by a ceasefire deal in Ukraine or face further sanctions. Earlier, the Australian Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, urged the summit to fulfill promises to boost global economic growth. But as John Donison reports from Brisbane, economic issues were overshadowed by discussions on Russia's behaviour in Ukraine.
The Russia-Ukraine crisis was the main talking point. President Vladimir Putin cut something of an isolated figure. President Obama described Russia's actions against Ukraine as appalling. The British Prime Minister David Cameron said Russia could face further sanctions and had what his office called a robust exchange of views with Mr. Putin. And the Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper reportedly told the Russian leader, "I guess I'll shake your hand, but I have only one thing to say to you, get out of Ukraine."
Tens of thousands of people have demonstrated in the Georgian capital Tbilisi against the planned agreement between Russia and Georgia's breakaway region of Abkhazia. The proposed agreement envisages the creation of joint Russian and Abkhazian military forces. The rally was organized by Georgia's main opposition party, the United National Movement. A party leader, Giga Bukeria, said that the march was sending a message to the two governments.
This is a clear message from the Georgian public that we will never accept the fact of dismantling of our sovereignty by Putin's Kremlin, Russia, and that we will never withdraw from the path that we have chosen to go back as a natural part of the free world, natural part of Europe.
Giga Bukeria. World News from the BBC. A French court has charged a Canadian university lecturer over a fatal bombing at a synagogue in Paris more than 30 years ago. The man, Hassan Diab, who's of Lebanese descent, was flown to Paris overnight after a long extradition battle through the Canadian courts. Four people were killed and 40 injured when the bomb, hidden in the saddlebags of a motorcycle, exploded in front of the synagogue on Rue Copernic in western Paris. A Sierra Leonean doctor who contracted Ebola has arrived in the United States for treatment. Martin Salia, who has U.S. residency and is married to an American, will be treated at an isolation unit in Nebraska. The hospital said he was critically ill. Three Brazilians have been given prison sentences of more than 20 years each for killing a young woman and eating parts of her body. Jorge Silveira and two associates were arrested in April 2012 and had confessed to the crime. Wira Davis sent this report from Rio de Janeiro.
Aided by his wife Isabel and mistress Bruna Silva, Silveira murdered and dismembered his victims. According to police reports from Pernambuco, the victim's flesh was used to make empanadas, or pastries, which were eaten by members of the household. When police raided Silveira's house, they found some of the victim's remains, and initially the three told police they belonged to a religious sect. Lawyers for the defendants said they would be appealing against their sentences, but prosecutors indicated they were already being linked with several other as-yet-unresolved murders.
A two-day auction of more than 1,000 items linked to Napoleon Bonaparte is taking place in France. Among the objects up for sale is one of his famous hats. Worn by a victorious Napoleon at the Battle of Marengo in 1800, the auctioneers hope it'll raise more than $600,000. The memorabilia is being sold by Monaco's royal family to help fund the restoration of its palace. And those are the latest stories from BBC News.